in the house of the Lord. I was thinking today as I was driving around doing my job. It was one of those mornings, if I remember correctly, this morning, it was sort of bleak outside, and it sort of matched the attitude that I was in at that moment. It was sort of dark and somber, and I was mulling over that, and I was like, no, this is not how I'm going to start my day. This is just not going to work, because I just talked to Brandon and a couple of the guys the other day about Monday, after the Sunday service, and of course after the youth meeting, that I just had such a euphoric feeling. It was one of those, and I've felt this before, but yes, Brandon, I said euphoric. I felt it before. I remember at certain meetings, especially back at the campground. You know, after you've been there for a solid week, you've been amongst God's people, and you know, I remember that feeling as far as when I'm leaving there. It's some of it is, it's just a peace. And also there's a longing for, you know, I really enjoyed the company I was in. And I got to thinking about that as far as, you know, when you're amongst God's people, and it's as much as I allow, I'll say this for myself, Christ to be in me, you know, Christ is in you through the Holy Ghost. As we blend our spirits together, it's a beautiful thing. It's something that I want to pay more attention to. Because I enjoyed working in the meeting. I enjoyed mingling with God's people, but I enjoyed that unity of the Spirit is what I really enjoyed. I really appreciated that. I didn't think about it as much through the meeting, but I've been thinking on it afterwards as far as just really thinking about, you know, not wanting to lose that. You know, many years ago as a young person, you know, you go to the meetings, you're excited, you get that fire and zeal, and then you get back and you get to that same old rut of what you have done before, and then you get the same results. And I was thinking about that in my own life as far as, you know, the youth meetings, if you want to say, wasn't geared, if you will, toward me. You know, I don't fit in that category so much anymore as far as that youth meeting, but I was thinking about the gathering of God's people, of us getting together in one mind and one accord, and how much power there really is in that. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking about, you know, I really today have been thinking about this service tonight and thinking, man, I can't wait, because I was just really wanting to get through what I was going through the day. And it's not like there was some major catastrophic deal. It was just life, just the work, just the daily grind, just mingling amongst the people of the world. And it's just like, you know, thank the Lord that I have a place to come and I can lift my hands and shake this world off me and say, Lord, I've got a different vision. I appreciate, and you know, in Hebrews where it talks about when it's going through the hall of faith, you know, going through the different Old Testament worthies, when it starts talking about, you know, this world wasn't worthy of those people. You know, they didn't realize, you know, they were just passing through. They were sojourners, just pilgrims going through this until we get to that heavenly home that's not made with hands, that's eternal in the heavens. And, you know, we have a more of an understanding on that. We're not looking for those, you know, golden gates where we open up and the streets of gold and all that. But I was just thinking about where my heart is, where my vision is, where I need to keep my focus on. And it's not on the things that are around me. You know, right now, I don't want those to be a distraction. I don't want them to get me off in the muck and the mire and get me back down into that pit that is so, everywhere you look. I mean, it's there. It's just surrounding you. I mean, at work, we just came through a large restructuring. And at a corporation, what that means is people lost their jobs. And so it's just a very sober, down mood at Waste Management. And so wherever you go, it's like you could be on top of the world coming in, and next thing you know, your shoulders are slumped, and you're thinking, wow, man, this is depressing. What's going on? You know, that kind of feeling, it's just strong. And I was thinking about that today, and I kept trying to maneuver around that. And like, no, I don't want that to affect me, Sister Cindy. I don't want that to dictate my personality. I don't want that to dictate where I'm at in my mind. I want to rise above that. And that's why I kept thinking about God, you know, I was using tonight's service as, like, if you will, a small microcosm of the longer journey. You know, I needed to trudge through the mire and the muck and get through the day to get here, to get amongst God's people, you know. And I don't want to, and don't take me wrong, I don't want to try to pass the days as like, oh, I just want this day to hurry. Because, you know, we lose. Well, you laugh like that's happened before, Brother Painter. You know I've done that before. It's just like, you know, I can't wait till 5 o'clock. I want to get out of here. I don't want to wish away my life. You know, I don't want to just, next thing you know, I turn around and, you know, 10 years have passed, and I'm thinking, well, I guess Saturday's coming up. I mean, you know, that's where your mindset goes. It's ever to the next Saturday, you know, getting away. But what I want to do is I want to put that into my spiritual walk as far as on a day-to-day basis, I know what my goal is. I know what my focus needs to be on. You know, I was also thinking about why there was such a different feeling during meetings, I should say, not just during our youth meeting, but why. And I was thinking about, you know, it's because, number one, there is that safety in that my brothers and sisters here have been taught those same things that I've been taught. We've been taught about Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We've went over 1 Corinthians 13 many times. And they're not just the black and white on the page, but there's so much meat there that is helping us how to treat one another. You know, I know when I come in here, someone may have had a bad day. I had one of those weird days, you know. But at the end of the day, when I come in here, I still feel more at peace than out there. Because amongst those people, I mean, I'm watching my back. If there's a wall, my back's against the wall because I'm thinking, I don't trust you to get behind me. I don't know who you are. It's the world we live in today. But in here, it's one of those things where that's one day, I know it talks about the ministry, being able to see eye to eye, but the oxen were back to back. You know, they weren't scared about who was behind them. They knew that they had their back because they had theirs. And that's the way I feel in here. I want to also make myself vulnerable as far as, you know what? You blessed people are my brothers and sisters. And I want to be more open with you and say, you know what? Help me. Help me along this journey. Help me to move a little bit closer to God. And I, in turn, want to be there for you. I want to be able to be that, to be able to use enough of the Lord of when I feel it on my heart to call someone or to text someone or something, that I can do that. I mean, you know, it's a simple thing, but how many times I know in my life have I said, oh, that's not God, Sister Rachel. No, why would God want me to text so-and-so right now? Why not? What would it have hurt if I would have texted them? Who knows how that might have affected their life? I know I've got those texts, or I've gotten a card in the mail, and it just did something. It was just like, you know, my brother or sister was thinking about me. They were lifting me up in prayer today, and it just helps that much more. Now, I'm not trying to get off of what I was talking a while ago, but I was just saying that I've been really trying to focus my mind on that day-to-day walk, that day-to-day focus of I want to keep what my goal is right out in front of me. I don't want to look so far off that I lose all that's right here in front of me, but I want to keep my eye on that high calling. I want to realize that day by day, I want to get one more step closer to God. The other day, I was on my way home on Monday when I had felt so good and all, and I thought, it's so easy right now. The children aren't with me. I can just go home, sit down, and just do nothing, and just sit there. And it did really sound really appetizing to me. It did. And then I thought, but what will you gain from that? And I thought, well, I'll be relaxed. So I was thinking about that. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized, you know what? I want to grow. And I was thinking also on a natural level because I wanted to physically work out. But I was thinking on a spiritual level of I need some brothers to be there to sharpen the sword with. I need to be able to talk to them about what's on my heart right now and keep it fresh. You know, this is something I want to keep alive. Do any of you, because I'll tell you this, I'm picky right now when I tell you this. Do any of you, are any of you real picky about foods when it comes to dates? All right, I know that those are just, they say, like approximates. But let me tell you, if it gets to like within a day or something, usually, I'm like, psh, throw it away. I've had food poisoning and nearly died, so I don't take chances with food, okay? If it's, you know, like almost a week before, oh, that's no good. My kids smell the milk now, and they're like, is it bad? You know, I just do that. It's just one of those things. It's in me. It's weird. But I want to keep this, just like I'm saying about my food, I want to keep this fresh. This is not an old message. You know, the Bible may be thousands of years old, but the salvation message is still new today. You know, the Holy Ghost is still moving today. There's still life available today. And I want to keep that fresh in my heart. I want to keep that magnified and realize what I have here just to be able to come here and feel the peace that I do. Come here and mingle my wine with these brothers and sisters, with you, my family. I mean, you can ask my mom, she'll tell you. I spend more time here than I do with them over there. You know, I don't have other family. This is my life. This is my life. This is what I live for. And if I can say that, you know, it makes more sense when I live it, Sister Crow. When you see that in my heart, when you see that by my actions, I don't want to just be a talky Christian. I want to be a walky Christian. I want to be one that you don't have to hear me say, Sister Inez, well, I'm a Christian, bless the Lord. No, I want it to be active in my life. I want it to be as I walk each day for someone to be able to look at me and say, there's something different about that person. And if I don't keep it, my relationship with God, fresh, and if I don't keep it day by day, then one day I'm not going to have that relationship with God. So I wanted to get up here and just bare my heart to say, I'm really thankful to be here tonight. I really appreciate the Spirit of God that we felt over that youth meeting and Sunday. Was that not just, I mean, I felt that expectation, you know, when the youth meeting honestly ended on Saturday and we're cleaning up the church, I was thinking, man, I bet we're going to have a blow-up service tomorrow. And it's an expectation because the Lord, He's not slack to pay His debts. You know, I just felt that Spirit on Sunday, and it was so so peaceful, so loving, and I just, I want to keep that alive. I want to keep that alive. And it's not just from Sunday to Wednesday as far as, well, I spoke Wednesday night. I'm good now for at least a month, you know. It's not just about speaking, but it's about every day. You know, what did I do Monday? What did I do Monday to enrich my relationship with God? Who did I reach out to? Who did I call? And I don't Facebook, so guys, don't get offended. I'm not your friend because I'm not on Facebook at all right? But I'm saying, hey, I will text you, or I might give you a random card in the mail. I just want you to know I appreciate being a part of this church, and I love this message. I love this vision. I appreciate my ministry very much, and I'm just thankful for that protection. I wanted to get up and magnify that tonight, that I'm thankful for what God has put down in my heart. You know, I don't want to ever forget that. I don't want to take that for granted ever again. I want to continually magnify that. So I just wanted to get up and say I appreciate being here tonight, and I love you all. Let's go ahead and take up the prayer request. I know that we do have many needs. What about Sister Wilkins? All right, let's still remember Sister Wilkins, and then I know Sister Elsie's family.
We do Brother Al's also family. On Sister Wilkins need to get a few of the ladies to volunteer to help Sister Fisher and Sister Tally to probably prepare meals for them for a little while. She gets back on her feet. So please get with Sister Fisher and Sister Tally on that if you're willing to help out.
Okay, are there any other needs? Brother Henry's not here tonight, so let's remember him. Sister Crow? Ron Eaton. your brother-in-law, you said? Your brother-in-law. Okay. Ron Eaton. Let's remember him. He's back in the hospital. All right. What other needs do we have here tonight? Sister Smith? Let's remember Elder Sister Smith with her jaw. She's in Texas right now. She really needs our prayers. Sister McGowan? Brother McGowan? Remember Brother McGowan, he's working tonight. Yes, DJ? All right, Brother and Sister Dodson. Are there any other, forgive me, the brother that has cancer, Brother, is it Angela?
Brother David Angela.
Brother David Angela, let's keep lifting him up. And then also the young lady in the lung sister in the Dominican Republic.
Let's,
well, let's
pray that it worked. I don't know for sure it worked.
Okay. Let's remember that young sister. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
She's got pancreatic cancer in the last stages.
Well, let's remember Sister Sturgeon and also Brother Sturgeon. With pancreatic cancer. Sister Thompson? Okay, so a friend, John Ray Taylor, found a mass in his lungs, and then also, let's remember Brother Paul Thompson. I mean, this is definitely, no pun intended, his hot season for what he does, and so let's remember him out there. As he's fixing everyone else's air condition, he's outside in the heat, so let's remember him on that. Brother Mike? Let's remember Jonathan and all those. Well, we know we need to lift up all our young people that are not with us right now, those that haven't been with us. You know, let's continue to pray for them, and maybe God will put someone specific on your heart. You know, someone prayed for me one day when I wasn't here, and, God didn't shake me too much over hell on a broken rail, but he shook me enough to wake me up. So let's remember that request and those others. Any others tonight? Did you want to take it off? Receive an offering? If the ushers would get ready, we'll go ahead and receive the offering as well. If we'll stand and take these needs before the Lord. Sister Yvonne? Let's remember this person that was involved in that accident. Lord, dear God, we appreciate you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us back together again, Lord, in your presence, dear Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We have so many needs that we bring before you, Lord. We bring them in faith. We lay them at your feet, dear Jesus. We know you're the great physician in every need that we have, Lord. You know, though. You know, Lord, the way to take care of it. You know what we need to go through. Oh, God, give us strength, Lord. Dear Jesus, each and every request that's been mentioned here tonight. Sister Taylor's praying, Lord. Oh, God, Sister Wilkins. Brother, Sister Crow's brother-in-law, Lord. Help him, dear Jesus, and his family. Sister Sturgeon. Brother Sturgeon, help him through this time of need, Lord. Oh, God, Brother Angelo and his need. Dear God, Ratliff family, Lord, dear Jesus. God, we have so many needs. We come before you, Lord. We're a needy people. But you're our Father, Lord. You said to come before you. You said you know our needs before you. We even ask them, Lord. Dear Jesus, we just ask you today, Lord. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to grow closer to you, Lord, to grow in faith, to be closer to you, dear Jesus, to get a stronger vision in our heart, Lord. Oh, God, each and every one that's here today, Lord, give us strength, Lord. The strength to go closer, to know that you know our needs, Lord. You know every number of the hair of our head, Lord. Oh, God, we love you. We thank you, dear Jesus. Blessed Jesus, serve you, Lord. Oh, God, lift you up, dear Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Appreciate you so much, dear God, for everything that you do. Lord, help you with the Dominican Republic, Lord, there. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well, I just want to stand tonight and say how thankful I am to be here and for the youth meeting and all the good words we heard and for the spirit and everything that happened. And I was sitting back there listening to what Brother Phil was saying and you know, how that whenever we all come together, the spirit we feel. And a month or so back, a couple of us guys went to Louisville, and I was sitting there, and on the final night, on Friday night, or Saturday night, we were praying, and those some guys getting the Holy Ghost, and really good move of the Spirit, and I was sitting there praying, and, you know, I was feeling everything, but, you know, I wasn't really, you know, as much as some of the other ones were getting, and I just felt like, you know, the amount of connection that we get whenever we all come together. And it was all of us guys up on the platform, and about 150 of us. And I just felt like, you know, that when the Spirit falls and we're all together, and how that, you know, we whenever we all come together, and just the brotherly love that we have. And, you know, whether you're from here or there, or, you know, whatever you're going on in your life, you know, you can just kind of just go up there, and everybody will just pray for you, and we're all together. And I was thinking more on what Brother Phil was saying, and I was thinking about how that, you know, whenever he said to keep it fresh, to not just, you know, get one blessing one month and just let it just last out, but to get more and more and more as you can. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, we've heard in the past times, you know, about distractions of the world and distractions of this and that, and I was sitting there thinking, and I thought that, you know, we have that, and we have the distractions of the world, and, you know, distractions of life and school and jobs or whatever you're going through, but for me personally, my biggest distraction is myself, and the distractions of just thinking this or thinking that or making something out of nothing or just whatever's going on in my life, that it, you know, it's not always other people's fault. It's not always other people that distract me. Sometimes it's just myself. And I feel like that, you know, the distractions of the world, you know, can weigh heavy on me or other people, but to just come to the realization that sometimes it's just myself, you know, sometimes it's just me. And that, you know, these youth meetings or whatever meeting you come to, how that whenever you get up there and you pray or, you know, wherever you're at, you know, to just be able to get closer to God and get a better blessing and, you know, try and get connected with everybody and just try and just drop all those distractions and just try and, you know, they're going to come, you know, it's not easy. But I was just thinking how that, you know, sometimes I'm just my own worst enemy, and it's me, not other people. And, you know, I just wanted to stand up and say how thankful I am for the meeting we had and for everything we heard and to see everybody and that the Spirit really fell and how great of a service Sunday was. And, you know, whenever Brother Scotty got up and just the, you know, just the amount of Spirit and amount of God I felt. And just to know that, you know, God's still with you if you want him. If you don't want him, you know, if you don't want a part of it, I can sit back there and just, you know, throughout the months or whatever and just not get anything. I have to go get it. And, you know, that just gets back to my own distractions and what's going on in my life that keeps me from being able to get there and get closer with God. And, you know, it takes those text messages and it takes those cards and it takes everything from, you know, the people here in the church and from brothers and sisters that, you know, help you get back on the right way and help you get closer to God. And I just want to stand up and just say how thankful I am to be here and for everything we've heard during the meeting.
You know, I got up during the youth meeting, and I was like, I don't need anybody. Brother Phil said, but I got up, so I'm good for a good month or so. I don't want to be that way. I just got up, and said, you know what? I got a feeling in my pit of my stomach. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I want to give him praise his name. Praise the Lord. I'm just glad to be here. Now, I came in, my hands dragging the ground. I was all tired and stuff. It's been a long couple of days. Been a long week. No youth meetings. You stay up till 2, 3 o'clock sometimes. Friends come over. Who needs sleep, please? I mean, I'll sleep when I'm dead. But you know what? And that work week starts catching up to you. You wake up at 7 o'clock or get to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. You're like, oh, Lord, I need some help here. I've been dragging this all this week, and just some things have been in my mind. Just be ye not weary in well-doing. You know, sometimes being weary in well-doing, not wanting to do any good, and sometimes doing good is just being good. You know, just being nice to each other, being friendly, showing a smile. I know I see people all day, and when they start saying, oh, you're 12? I didn't know they let little kids work here. And, you know, actually, God said I was 27 today, so I'm hanging on to that one. And they call me Tom Hanks, and I'm not sure if it's a big Tom Hanks when he plays that little kid, or I'm a castaway Tom Hanks for my best friend's a volleyball, so I'm still trying to figure that one out. But, no, I'm starting to think, and you know what? These people, many people on Medicare, and old 75, 85, 90-year-olds, had a 100-year-old lady come in the other day. You know, they are just, they have nothing to live for. They sit in there, they watch their Wheel of Fortune, their soap operas, and you know what? They ain't got nothing going on in their life. And I'm thankful that I got something going on. I'm thankful our older saints got something going on in their life. You know, sometimes you see those people wheeling in the wheelchairs. It makes you thankful that you can walk. It makes you thankful that you can get around. You see Sister Crow and Brother Crow, and I mean, they're getting on up there, no offense or anything, but I mean, they're still getting around pretty good. And you see, you start seeing Sister Crow start cutting a rug out there out front. It makes you feel good. And I'm thinking, hey, that's a call out, Sister Crow. I haven't seen you dance in a while. You know, I start thinking, you just got to smile to these people. You know what? Just sometimes being friendly shows that you are a light to the world. I'm thankful that, you know, I think Paul David said it one time, we are the salt of the earth. You know, we rub up on each other. And you get that salt on everybody, you get salt over here. You got me to thinking, not all salt is good salt. You know, each other, you start to get a bad attitude about you. You got that spear where you start rubbing up on people and get that salt on them. You know, that may not be the best salt for them. Sometimes no salt's better than bad salt. And you know, I'm just thankful to have good salt and to do my best. I know even when I'm tired and, you know, I was dragging. I came home, the house was a wreck, and the dogs have been left in the house all day, and they left me a couple of presents in my room. And got my new sleep. I got a new clamping sleeping pad, and that's where that was their nest, if should I say. They had a good time with that, so I'm out of sleeping pad now. But, you know, I got to thinking, and I'm tired. I don't want to go to church. I got home at 6 o'clock. I got to be gone at 7 o'clock to get church. But, you know, I'm glad I came. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad for our youth meeting. I got a lot of good things out of our youth meeting. You know, it's sometimes I ain't been to a meeting in a while. And sometimes just seeing everybody working in one accord, everybody has one goal, that lets you know that you are a part. You are a part of this wonderful body. And I'm thankful that to actually know that I'm a part. Sometimes you get down and depressed on yourself, thinking, I don't matter. Where do I belong in this world? Where am I supposed to be? And you know what? You see your brothers and sisters come up and give you a hug you ain't seen in years. You know, it's good to see you, brother. It's good to see you, sister. This is where and that's when you get that feeling in your heart. This is where I belong. This is where the best is yet to come. This is where I need to be. This is where I have to be. And so I'm going to think, I mean, to be you not weary and well doing. That's one of those verses that it's kind of like Romans 8:28. Man, it's easy to say when things are going good, but you know, when things are going bad, it's not so easy to say. Be you not weary and well doing. I know my mom's got that hung up in her laundry room. And said, man, I had to go find me a white shirt because all mine were dirty from the meeting. I saw that and said, be ye not weary and well doing. I was not planning on going to church. I'm just ironing some clothes. And you know that's sad. I'd rather iron clothes than go to church sometimes. But you know, I said, be ye not weary and well doing. So you know what? I want to be ye not weary and well doing. I'm thankful to be here. I know, you know, sometimes you got that burden. And that burden weighs hard on your shoulder. But you know what? A lot of people ask God for, I want a lighter burden, God. I want a lighter burden. You know what I want? I want broader shoulders. I want to be able to hold that load. I want to be able to be a pillar and hold it. And be, even though sometimes I don't feel good, sometimes we don't feel good, sometimes holding there, holding up the hands of others, and being a pillar, that sometimes that means more. I'm just thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for all your smiling faces.
Attended one service, but it was really good, and we thought, well, we would like to have attend all of it, but it was so crowded that we thought, well, we'll just since we was older, we just go home and let someone else have our seat. And but anyway, we got the DVD and we listened to it last night. It was very good. Some of the service that we didn't get to attend. But I was just thinking how wonderful it is that we can have the youth meetings for the youth. And I thought, as I sat there and watched them and listened at them, I thought how wonderful it was that they could be in those meetings. But see, when I met this body of people, I was 16, and then when I was 17, I really began to get my eyes open. And I thought, Lord, if we'd had something back then, I would have thought I'd done died and gone to heaven. I'll tell you, I just thought that was so wonderful that our youth can get together and get good blessings. And I thought how that we fix food that they like and do the things that they would enjoy. And, you know, back when I was first in the body, really the young people didn't get very much attention. And if you made it, well, you was really doing good because you just didn't get very much attention. Not that they meant to do that, but the youth, they just simply didn't get very much attention. And if you was discouraged or something like that, well, you just went home and cried it out and prayed it out and done the best you could because, I know that they was concerned about us, but everybody just more or less... I don't mean done their own thing. I just mean they done what they could for themselves. And we went to service, and we enjoyed the service and all like that. But it's just nowadays, it's just a little different than it was then. However, it was good back then. It was wonderful. Don't get me wrong. Because I hadn't been, I wouldn't be here today. But I was interested, and if I had not been interested, I probably would have fell by the wayside, but I just marveled at how that we do for the youth nowadays, how that we encourage them, and I thought how that everyone should be so thankful. I'm talking about the youth, that so thankful for what that has been done for them, and how that we encourage them and we help them. Because after all, we're all in this to make it, and I'd like to see our young people make it as well as us older folks. But I just, in the service of the day when we was listening, I just sat there and looked at all those young people, and I thought, I'm sure that they realize how blessed they are that they can be, a part of the body of Christ, and to come to the meetings and enjoy the things of God and take a part. And I just sat there and thought, Lord, this is wonderful. This is so wonderful. And all. So I'm hoping that they really realize what a great part and what a great opportunity that they have, because I think it is the most wonderful thing that we hear this message. It's so different and it's so great. I know when I first... heard this, it was so different than anything that I'd ever heard, because we visited Pentecostal churches. I was in the Assembly of God Church. However, I never did join anything. I just never did feel like that it was right to join a church. And but this message was so different and so wonderful. There's something about it. It's got a drawing to it. And I didn't understand, naturally I didn't understand about it when I first heard it. It was peculiar, but it is a wonderful, wonderful peculiarity. And so I'm just so thankful that I heard this message, and it was something about it that the more you hear, the more you wanted to hear. And I remember that the minister that come to our part of the country, he would come to our homes. And first thing you know, we'd all be gathered around him. We would ask him questions, because this was something that was so different that we just couldn't fathom it. It was just so outstanding. We would ask questions, and the more that we asked, the more that he taught us, the more we wanted to know, because it was just so great. And so tonight, I am thankful that I have a part, and I'm glad that that I had a heart to live for God, because in our country it wasn't well, we didn't have too many young people, and the older ladies would gather and for the prayer meetings, and I would go. There's something about it, I couldn't stay away, even though I was a young person. And many times I was the only young person that gathered with the older sisters that they was praying. One of the sisters that, you know, there's always people in the church that you lean upon. And we had some sisters that we really, really leaned upon. And they told us, they said, if we will pray, said, if we'll, you know, that's why we had the prayer meetings. If we will pray, the Lord will send us someone that can teach us what the Word of God means. We could read it, but we need to know what it meant. And so I'm glad that I was one that gathered with the, what I called the old ladies then. Of course, later on I changed my mind. It's not so bad, you know, because I kind of got to be one myself. But anyway, but I am so glad that I got together with them and we prayed. And that was in the spring of the year, and then that fall, a minister of this body of people come to our community and begin to teach us this wonderful message. And I've thought so many times, Lord, I'm so thankful that I had a desire, even though I was a young person. I could have been having my mind somewhere else on other things, but I'm glad that I wanted the Lord, and I knew that there was something better than what we was enjoying at the time. And I'm just so glad that the Lord gave me that wonderful opportunity, that in that part of the country that I helped to pray for this ministry, and that it come to our community. And I just I thank the Lord many times that he allowed me to be there and to enjoy the things of God and to the experiences that he's given me over the years. And I'm just so thankful. And so I just really was happy for the youth meeting, and every time that we have one for our young people, and to know what a wonderful privilege and opportunity that they have, to think that they can have these meetings and to express themselves, and let the Lord bless them and give them a chance to go on this wonderful journey that we're all traveling on. And so I just really was so happy to think that they have this wonderful chance. And I thought, Lord, help them. Help them to be greater encouraged, to want to get in and to really pull on the Spirit of the Lord. And all because the world is getting darker. It's really bad out there. And I thought, Lord, keep your hand upon our young people, because we're going to really need all we can get a hold of to make this journey that we're on. And so it's a wonderful privilege that we have together. And I hope that our young people will be greater encouraged, and that they'll want to really get right in and help us all, because it takes us all working together and being enthused. This is an enthusiastic way. I mean, I know that we have trials, but don't we in the natural? You know, if you don't even live for God, I'm telling you what, you have all kinds of problems, I'm sure. And so, of course, I mean, I've lived for the Lord since I was 14 years old, and I know very little about the world, I mean, as far as partaking of it, but I'm so thankful that I don't know all that much about it, as far as partaking of it, but I'm so thankful that the Lord dealt with me as a young person, and I'm glad that I've held on. There's many times that I could have gotten shaken off, but I just grabbed a hold and hold on tight. That's the way you've got to do it. So I'm thankful that we had the youth meeting, and I hope that our youth will really get in and work and be encouraged and all, because after all, I had people back then to ask me, said, well, you're young and you're in church all the time, which I was. Every time that I had a chance to go to church, I was there. And they said, what do you do for entertainment? I said, entertainment? We have all we can take care of. And two, a person think, well, when you're there for God, what do you do? But, you know, we have a desire within us that is taken care of by the Spirit and by the Word of God. So we don't care about other things. But it's a wonderful thing. But if people don't understand, well, then unless they partake of it, they don't know what we're talking about. But I can say that I am so happy that I have come this way. And as a young person, I received the Holy Ghost when I was 14 years old and met these people when I was 16. And it's been a wonderful journey, and I wouldn't take nothing for it. And I don't feel like that I have missed a thing in the world, but the Lord has, he said he would give us the desires of our heart. And my desire was to live for him and to make it. I'd like to make the bride. I'm trying my best. And that's what I'm here for. And I just would like to just let people know what this is all about. But you know, people don't understand unless they come and partake of it. And you've got to be hungry to want this. This is not a beautiful way. Even the Bible teaches that. It's not a beautiful way. I mean, as far as the natural is concerned, but I'll tell you, as far as the soul is concerned, it's beauty beyond measure. So tonight, I'm thankful that the Lord dealt with my heart as a young person. And all these years, I've held on and I've enjoyed my life. I have really enjoyed my Christian experience with the Lord in the body of Jesus Christ. And I've just, oh God, I just thank him. I thank him so much that he gave me a chance to come this way. And my desire is to hold on a little longer. And one of these days, I'll have it made. So anyway, it's good to be here tonight and to know that the Lord is with us, and if we'll just hold on tight, that one of these days we can make it. So I say to the young people, hold on to what you got, and come on, let's get some more of it. And this is a wonderful way, and I'll tell you, I don't have anything bad to say about it. It's a wonderful way, and I'm so thankful that I'm part of it, and I want to be an example and to let people know that this is the real and genuine. So thank the Lord tonight for what he means to us.
Well, I was very pleased with the youth meeting, and I was, it seemed to me like, I wasn't aware of everything that was going on, but it seemed like it was running, as far as the work part of it, that it was running smooth, I've said it already, but I want to say it again, how much I appreciate you all and how well you work together and how hard you work to host the people of God when we have meetings and keep the right spirit while you're doing it. I didn't see any spirits getting flared up or anything or hear about any, and if there were took place, well, I don't want to know about it. It's already over, so just get over it. That's all I know to tell you if you had any problems. But I know these youth, so, you know, I feel like some of them receive some things, you know. Sometimes it's just experiences, which there's nothing to make little out of any experience you have in God, if the Holy Ghost. But it's as you develop, it's your experiences are to get greater and more meaningful, not necessarily just emotionally, but that God will give you things that will help you develop Do you know this world is in such a condition, there won't anybody come in here from out in the world that won't have all kinds of problems emotionally you know, there's there's so many, the condition of there's so many things that goes on in the flesh anyway, but when you've been so exposed to the ways of the world, and everybody, I was thinking while Sister Crow was talking, I was fortunate enough to come up in an area that was, you know, less modernized, I guess is a good way to say it. I grew up in the country and with country people, and we had more time for God. I thought about that while you was talking, Sister Crow. We had more room in our lives for God because, I mean, when I was a young boy at home, well, we didn't go anywhere. We worked on the farm, and we went to town maybe once a week or once every 2 weeks. Sometimes it was that long before we'd go to town, except for church. We did go to church on Sundays, but we'd come right on back home, and we had to, you know. So we had time for, you know, our lives wasn't filled with so much. I can remember as a boy, you know, I remember when, I don't know if I can remember when TVs came out, but I can remember the first one I ever saw. I can remember when it first came out for me. I don't know what year television came out. And then I remember when the color TV came out. I remember that was something. It wasn't very many people had one. The color must have come out in the 50s, didn't it? Sometime in the 50s, because I remember when it came out, and I remember they adjusted it and things. And I mean, we didn't have one right off, but I remember seeing that. And then when we did get one, well, it had to be adjusted. But our lives wasn't filled up with all the different communications and all the different news that's going on in the world. You know, you heard what news was kind of local or maybe statewide, but if something national news wasn't something you got all the time. It had to be something big for you to get that, like a war, or that the war was over, or that we got an election, a new president or something. But nowadays, there is so much to fill the minds of people that it's hard to find anybody that has room for God. It's one of the problems that we're having in this world. You can't find people that they're too busy to even get hungry for God. Especially in a country like we're living in. We're living still in a, I know that everybody's talking about the economy being so bad, but I'll tell you right now, it's not bad. If you don't believe me, just any night, just go to the restaurants, the nice big restaurants in town. You'll have to find a place to park. And you'll have to maybe wait for a table. Well, I'm talking about years ago when we never thought about going out to eat because we didn't have any money anyway. They grew what we ate at home and canned it up and all of that, you know, and they my family, they killed hogs every winter and scraped them down and put them in a smokehouse, and we, you know, they that we just about grew everything we ate, meat and all, groceries, anything, just about the only thing you'd buy is sugar and flour and coffee and what else? Salt and pepper. I don't know. That's the first time, Brother Zach, that I ever heard of bad salt. But I knew what you meant. Somebody rubs it in your wound, you'll know it's not good, that's for sure. So it would be bad salt to you. But anyway, I know that we're, I've mentioned this, I've thought about it. We're living in a world that is so, but I'm not trying to take away from it because I know God has allowed this and it's for a purpose. And God's going to have a people, I don't care how bad the world gets, but he's going to have a people that has a love for righteousness, that develops that. If they'll get a hunger for it. God may have to help you, but I was thinking while Sister Crow was talking about she wanted to make the bride. And you know, some of the, right now our doctrine on the doctrine of resurrections, we're not, the brotherhood's not together on that doctrine. Some of the brethren think you can make perfection right now. Some don't think you can. Some think you could make it any time since the day of Pentecost. If people made it all the way through. And of course here we teach that there's a resurrection of the just and the unjust, and that it's two different times. The resurrection of the just will take place down here at the restoration of the church in the last prophetical hour, and the resurrection of the unjust will be after the thousand-year millennial reign. But here's the thing about it. To be just, you've got to be doing everything that you know to do. To stay just, that word is synonymous in the Bible with faithful and holy and a saint. And what's some of the other words? Sanctified, holy, faithful, wise, upright. to be just. So for you, you've got to be striving to make the bride all the time. If you're going to come up in the resurrection of the just, you've got to be doing all you know to do. You can't just say, "Well, I can't make it right now, so ain't no sense in me trying." You never will make it if you've got that attitude. You've got to. You know, in other words, we are to all say, I've got to overcome sin to make it, so I'm going to do everything I can do right now. I'm going to live for God the best of my ability. And for God to help you with all of the different, you know, to see yourself, to look in this, for God to let you see yourself is such a great blessing. For you to see your spirit. you know, every one of us are needy. Every one of us have inferiority complexes. Every one of us, we need for somebody to recognize us. Did you know you can grow up in God and get over that? You can grow up in God to where you don't have to have attention. You can give it all to somebody else. You can grow up and be an adult Christian, mature, where you're not, you know, and God had to help you to see that about yourself. I know when the Lord shows me something about myself, I don't always like it, but I'm always glad because, I recognize that it's something that shouldn't be there. You know, but for a person to have, you know, if you can see that you're, if you've got pride, which is selfishness, and feeling, you know, big about yourself or feeling better than somebody else, God, there has to be enough people in a church that has enough charity, at least that's putting it on and practicing it, to where, you know, when you read the 13th chapter, in fact, let's just turn over there just for a minute. I'm not going to talk very long because I got up late, but I thought maybe y'all, I wanted y'all to have room to, I didn't want to. But when you read this, you know that this love of God, this charity, this is agape love. It's love like God has. And you can't just have it. I can't give it to you. God can't even give it to you. It's got to be developed in you. He's got to develop it in you. You have to grow to a place in God where you love people. And you love to see people saved, and you love the Word of God, and you love righteousness and hate iniquity. Iniquity is your doing your own will. When you get your will in it, when you get your will out of the way, there is no iniquity. And but when you read about this charity, verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 13, it suffers long. How long can you suffer? How long will you suffer with a situation? And then I know there's balance, but when I think about how long God suffered, it shows me the love that He has. How long He's put up with things and not brought things or rushed it into judgment, that He's been so merciful. There's, you'll find that in churches, even after you get in here. You know, the Bible says here's some categories of people. Blessed are they that do meditate on the law of God both day and night. There's a people that's blessed, and they don't walk. They don't stand in the way of sinners. They don't sit in the seat of the scornful. So there is a seat of the scornful. There's a scornful. You can be a scorner. And I hate to tell you this, but most scorners are in religion. You have to overcome that after you get in the church. When you get in the church, you might come from out in the world somewhere where you feel like you're better than other people, and you run up. Some people has that. I don't think my wife would be offended for me to say this. My mother-in-law, just absolutely feasted on negative things. I mean, she had a police scanner sitting on her kitchen counter, and it's going all the time. You know, she'd hear something. There's a fire. There's a robbery. She just had this light her up like a candle. But you could say something good, and that didn't do much for her. Something good going on. And some people are that way. I've seen that. Not just my mother-in-law wasn't even in church. I've seen that in the church where, you know, people, they get excited about anything that'll stir up. It's stirring, you know, it's problems and trouble stirring. They just got to get in on it. They got to talk about it. They got to stir in there with it. You'll have to grow up from that. You'll have to get that out of your spirit to leave things like that alone. And there's not anything wrong with recognizing, but you ought to recognize if it stirs your spirit. Your spirit feeds on that kind of stuff. That's what I'm saying. After you get in here, you don't get over all these problems when you get in here, but God has to help you. And, you know, for you to have one of the things, and I don't think I'm different than a lot of young men, but I had a real need to be recognized, even though, you know, my father was an alcoholic. He had problems. But I knew my dad loved me. I did know he loved me. But he just had problems, and I didn't get all of the favor or recognize me all that much. I mean, my dad, you had to do something really big for dad to say you done something good. You know, he just expected good out of you. He'd tell you when you didn't do good, but he didn't praise you too much for doing good. Jesus, we ought to all learn that from the Lord. Did you ever read the only thing he wrote in the Bible that wasn't, you know, channeled through a man was the letters he wrote to the seven churches. He looked like he dictated them. But he'd start off like the first church of Ephesus. He started off telling them some good things about them. It's called plus minus plus of dealing with people. You know, you give them some pluses, then you tell them what's wrong with them. Then he did that. Then he told them some good things again. He put the pluses in there if he could. Some of those churches, he didn't have any pluses to give them. It was all minus. But I don't think Laodicea had anything, any pluses, did they? But anyway, I sought for some kind of a father figure, somebody. I needed approval. I needed a man's approval. I almost think almost everybody today almost needs that. We're living in a world where everybody's so busy, nobody has time to really give the proper approval. I'm thankful for parents that work on that. But you got to be careful if you're just approving your children. And we got to be careful because we can have that seed of a scornful. You got to be careful not to get that, because when God gives you good things, you start seeing the things that God's cleaning up in your life, and you see people that don't have it in their life, and that makes you want to judge them and be set in a seat, a judgment seat, recognizing the things that they don't have in their life. And if that's, you know, if we're not careful, that's certainly not the love of God. That's not God's love that'll nurture and reach out and lift up and help. At the same time, there is a balance. You know, you can't have, I realize that. This is a big operation of God that we're working on. You can't, I've mentioned it before about Brother Durham's boy writing that big A on the back of that chair. And God revealed to me that sometimes we can get feeling so good about what God's doing that we'll put our approval on something that's wrong. And then sometimes we can be, God's having to work this out. We've got things going on in the ministry that's wrong that makes people think that things are wrong or right. I've heard ministers tell me about their pastor teaching them something or doing them wrong. You know, if a man of God is doing something that's wrong and it's really not, you know, he's violating saints, and yet a saint would feel like they disrespected them if they even brought it to their attention or even appealed to them about it. And they'd, you know, feel like that they, you know, that was something where God dealt with them and God showed them where they weren't disrespected a ministry that was doing wrong. You see the imbalance I'm talking about in that? Where saints even have to learn how to unravel all that in their minds. I'm just talking about developing and growing up into maturity where you can be respectful and you can be honorable and you can still question. You can make appeals to authority. And, you know, this ministry is not perfect yet. And we, I don't think we ought to put out a air about ourselves that everything we do is right. If we do something wrong that's brought to our attention, we ought to be adult enough to admit it and say, well, I'll work on that. I'll, you know, thanks for bringing it to my attention. And I understand, you know, I'll never be able to get this across probably in a balance because, you know, it depends on the person's spirit that does the appealing. If you got to be appealing the pastor or a man of God all the time because you want to correct him and you're really in the wrong spirit, then you're not, he shouldn't allow you to get by with that all the time. He might let you get by with it, you know, and see your spirit in it for a while and just be long-suffering. But somewhere there has to be some kind of correction or teaching. But the thing is, if we'll let the Holy Ghost operate, that's how this is we mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit. And for God to help us grow up and mature unto perfection, it's going to take that. It's going to take the Spirit of God revealing things. Like I'm saying, to be able to see yourself. To see things in your spirit when you see it, my spirit's wrong. You know, some people can't take correction. You just give them a little bit of correction. They get their feathers all ruffled. They can't hardly take it. You know, I mean, you can be as just gentle as you want to be. But some people can't take it. Well, and you can't treat everybody, you know, the ministry has to learn that. You can't treat everybody the same because you want to have enough, at least practice enough charity that you won't run somebody off. That's one of the things that I realize as a minister. There's areas I've failed people. There's people that have left the church. I realized I failed them. You know, I've seen where the church failed people. But I, as a pastor, didn't recognize where the church was failing, and I didn't make up the difference for them. You know, new people can come in here, and you can have, if we're not careful, you can have a spirit that you've got your place in here, and nobody else is going to get it, bless God. You know, I'm not sharing it. I'm not, you know, I'm not making room. I'm not trying to help somebody else. And if you're not careful, there'll be people come in here and they won't have a friend one in here. There's nobody reaching out to them. Maybe because they made a few mistakes. You know, maybe they got in here and they wanted to be a part and they went about it, you know, the way they went about it. And if somebody comes in here and they do get a position and they're rejected, you know, people don't like the way they go about it. So they suffer some rejection. If you're not careful, a church can pull away from new people to where new people don't have a friend in the church. And a little while, they're out. You know, they're just by themselves, even though they're coming. And if we don't, somebody recognize, somebody's got to reach out to those people, or they'll be gone in a little while. See, for us to learn how to build a church, it's going to take God helping us. It's going to take something in us wanting to reach out to others more than satisfying our own needs. And that's what charity does. Charity, it's focused towards others. It's a love for others. I'm not saying I've already, you know, if you've listened to my teaching, you know I've already told you we're not in second heaven. And I'm telling you, you're not going to get charity till you get there. You may get measures of it, parts of it. And there's a big, you know, balance to bring in all of this. How much charity do you show? You know, how much can you show? You know, there's so many different avenues we could go down in all of this. this church is an old enough church. It's had a lot of people in it. Some of them's left. Some left wrong. There's people. How much charity do you have for people that left this church and is working against it and been working against it for years? How much fellowship should you have with that? How much should that be? How much should we put up with that? You know, there's such a thing as disfellowship. You know what disfellowshipping is for? It's to make people of God that's done enough wrong to feel cut off from the people of God that they'll get hungry for. But if people won't leave them alone and just keep feeding their spirits and let their dirty, rotten spirits just keep barfing all over everything about what they don't like. That goes on. Y'all know that. But some people just hang on to that like they think they're going to save them. You aren't going to save them. God, if God can't help them, you're not going to help them. But if you'd leave them alone and not have fellowship, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? See, when people are unrighteous, they leave God. They leave God's order. Sometimes we have to leave those people alone and turn them over to the spirit of Satan that they might be saved. You know, sometimes you've got to let things alone and let God deal with it. I was counseling somebody the other day about a woman that was praying for her husband. And her husband's business was just going down, down, down. And she just kept getting in there and helping him and building it up, up, up. And that one thing would happen right after the other, and she couldn't leave it alone. But she was praying, God, help my husband. Well, finally, she found out he was having an affair with another woman. And he finally left her and divorced her after his business went to nothing. And the Lord spoke to her. And the Lord said, He said, I was dealing with your husband. I wasn't blessing him. I took my hands off of him, but you wouldn't leave it alone. You just kept interfering. And you just kept putting your hands in where I was interfering. I was trying to interfere. I wasn't blessing him. I was letting his business go bad because he needed corrected. But you just kept helping him, and it just kept helping him keep doing what he was doing. She saw that. She saw that she missed God and that she actually interfered with God. I heard this woman's testimony. It really touched me. Well, I'm just showing you that there's so many different areas of development in this that as we grow and mature and develop in the things of God, that we are to gain wisdom. And look, being just is, you've got to be wise. God doesn't require it of you until you see it. But there is an order of God. And you know, God's people, after a while, you get pretty smart, you know, in here. You'll develop quite a bit of intelligence about the things of God and the order of God. But that doesn't do away with the order. There's still an order. And God knows if you're really working it or not. He knows our spirits. I'm not exempt from that. There is a ministry and a leadership in this body, and I guarantee you they know if I have the right kind of spirit to work in order. Brother Knight, I really, really want to work with them. you know, I'm having trouble with a man in the Dominican Republic right now. I didn't put him in there. He went in there on his own. But people think he's working with me because that's the way he makes it appear. And he's not in order, but he knows how to make everything sound like he's in order. even if I wasn't careful, I would even think that he's trying to work in order. But I've watched him. I've watched his spirit. He just does what he's going to do, and then he tells me what he's doing. He never has once asked me nothing. He's built a building, didn't say a word to me about it. He's having a meeting. He knows when I have a meeting every, you know, in February, every 2 years. He knew I was having a meeting in February. He announced his in December. And he goes around making people think that I'm all, you know, working with him. He just told me he was having a meeting. Well, I just, you know what I've done? I just wait on God. I just look for God. I'm looking for what God's going to do about it. I do know there's an order, you know, where I can do something about it, but I'm trying to wait on God. It's how I do in here. I used to just, any little old thing wrong, I'd just get up and run it up a flagpole. Didn't matter to me if it made you mad or not. I'd just work on it. First, if you done something wrong, everybody in here would know it several years ago when I didn't have much wisdom. I may not have a whole lot more, but I've got more than I used to have. Now I wait on God. I just let things go. Sometimes people say, are you ever going to do anything about that? Well, I just let it go until I see God. You know, or there's a quickening from God to work on it. And I want to make sure myself, it's not my spirit trying to correct the people of God. But I want to see the Holy Ghost working. I found that out. It doesn't do any good if the Spirit of God's not working on it. You know, you're not going to accomplish very much if God's not helping. But anyway, charity suffers long, and it's kind. And it envies not. Right? Blows you out of the water right there. You just say, well, that ain't me. I don't have that. You know, you see, you gotta be without sin to have this. What this is talking about, without the flesh working, it vaunts not itself. You know, it never tries to promote itself. Never, it don't. It's not looking for a position. It don't. You know, and let me say this. There's a scripture for the ministry that says, he that desires the office of a bishop desires a good thing. You got to have to get that in balance. You can want to be in leadership because you see the benefit of leadership, not because you want to rule anybody. If you want to rule somebody, you're not a leader yet. But when you get to a place that you want to help people, And I'm finding this out. There's people that need led that don't know they need led. And the only way you can lead them is lead them without them know you're leading them. And let them think it's their idea. That's tough on you. You've got to grow a little bit to realize I'm going to help this guy and I'm not going to let him know I'm helping him. And I'm going to make him think that he's helping himself and probably me too. But some people need help so bad you just got to go ahead and help them and let somebody else get the credit for it or them get the credit. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. God knows. And I don't know that you even need credit. You're going to get it anyway from God and you're going to know within yourself if God works something in you to where you can love the people of God and help them and not expect anything for it. As a matter of fact, that's a good feeling. I can't tell you I experience it all the time, but I can tell you it's a good feeling to give something without any strings attached. Nothing in return's expected. I just want to bless you. Just want to help you. And I want to do it even if you don't want me to do it, I'll just do it anyway and maybe not let you know I did it. That's anyway, you're not puffed up. Whew. Does not behave itself unseemly. I hadn't got that one down either altogether. I do pretty good most of the time, but if I let my guard down and you catch me off guard, I'm liable to do a little something unseemly. I hate to admit it, but I have. My wife catches me at it more than anybody else. I don't keep my guard with her too much. We cut the chase and just get right down to where the rubber meets the road with one another quite often. And sometimes I'm do things a little unseemly with her. You know, I'll be sharp with her or say something without too much didn't sound very respectful. And so it's something you have to work on. Seeks not her own. Don't want nothing. Ain't here to get nothing. Want you to have it all. This gets down to just taking everything away, doesn't it, from the flesh. Not easily provoked. Just go ahead and pick on me. Talk about me. Run me down. You can't make me mad. Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Oh, God. I'll come up with an excuse why I need to give you a strong answer. I'll say, you needed somebody to shake you a little bit. Well, it is true once in a while. Even God will do that once in a while. But not every time. Not the first time. Not even the second or third. Thinketh no evil. Don't even get in your mind. Nothing in your mind. No bad thoughts whatsoever. I had a guy call me today and tell me about a dream he had, and it's a terrible dream, but he was trying to spiritualize it. I thought to myself, man, you just ate a bad banana or something. I didn't tell him that. He told me the interpretation. I said, well, maybe so. I thought I'll work on that later. He's not going to be able to take it right now, I could tell. He's too full of what he's thinking about, what it meant. But if I'd have had a dream like that, I wouldn't have told a soul. I wouldn't have told nobody what he told me. I said, dear Lord, God forgive me for ever even having such a dream as this. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. That's a tough one, see, because if you're not careful, this can work. There's fine lines to this. There can be men in the body that disagrees with leadership and are working iniquity. They think they know more than leadership. And those men can rise up, and if you're not careful, you can get that same spirit and work with them. You can rejoice in the spirit of iniquity. You can be glad for the wrong thing. So God has to help us. You know, the Lord has to give us wisdom. He's got to deliver us. Well, this is what we're having these youth meetings for, is because we want our young people to get in this and really get dedicated and let God go to work on their lives. I'm telling you, you don't have to be 80 years old to get this. You don't have to be my age. You don't have to be 50. 40. God can work these things. Jesus was 33 and a half when he died. And he had it. He got the whole package. And Stephen was just a young man. And God can give you things. We're coming up on an age where God wants to, he's going to do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness. That's another word for just. To be righteous. Beareth all things. That just means you bear all things that need to be bore with. Don't mean you bear with things that you shouldn't bear with. But you got to have enough wisdom to know that he that eateth strong meat he's a full age, and he discerns good from evil. He knows, he discerns that which is good and that which is evil. Believeth all things. That just means that you'll start out not doubting somebody and not thinking they're lying. You'll hope that they're telling it right. You hope all things and believe all things. You'll think this. I discern something about this don't feel just right, but I'm hoping it's the truth. I'm hoping this person's, you know, telling the truth. It don't mean you believe everything that you know is a lie, but it means you believe everything that you can possibly believe or have patience to wait and make sure. You don't accuse somebody of lying when you don't have any facts about it. Hopeth all things, endureth all things. That just means you're enduring all things in the right way. There's some things you shouldn't endure. Jesus didn't endure a bunch of gainsayers, people, you know, throwing up things that was wrong, especially men of God, of the priesthood and of the cloth. He didn't endure them people, but he endured everything that he needed to endure with. He didn't, you know, he wasn't quick to judge. He was slow to wrath or slow to judge something. And charity never fails. So we're working towards something, but I just thought I'd bring it out that to be just, you got to do all God has gave you to do. He that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it's sin. So God, if you know, you can't be sinning and be just. God help us. That's part of what Jesus was dealing with the church at Ephesus. Do your first works over. Get busy about being diligent, doing it right. Make up your mind. I'm in this, and I'm in it to win. I'm in this. I'm going to overcome sin. I'm going to be diligent enough to put everything in practice, and at least I'm going to work on it. I'm going to try. I'm going to put forth my best effort. I'm not just going to sin or lay down and do things or let my spirit go when I'm going to check myself, hold myself. Let the Spirit of God help me. And so I feel like God is going to work this in some of our young people's hearts and minds. You know, I think he's going to help them to see there's nothing in this world and all your dreams. You might as well get your mind off of self and get it on God. Get it on the plan of God and the calling of God. And know that he'll give you the joy of gladness. He'll give you happiness. He'll bless you. You'll have peace. You won't be, you know, what's the word for, you know, being, well, double-minded's a good one, but I'm restless. That's the word I wanted. You won't be restless. You know, never satisfied. Disturbed, yeah. But you can, he satisfies. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. You'll love your relationship if you'll just get in with him. Make your commitment. Get 100%. You know, sometimes you think you can't. I know what it's like to be afraid of God. You're afraid, you know. I don't know why. God has never done one thing for me that I was sorry he did it. I've always liked everything he's done for me after I went through. But there's been times I was afraid to commit to God fully because I didn't know what he was going to do. I didn't realize I was saying, I'm afraid you'll go against my will. I'm afraid that you'll take some of my will away, my desires, and you'll take that away from me. It's exactly what he wants to do. But I can tell you he'll replace it with things that you'll like more than your will. You'll enjoy everything God does for you. You'll think, why did I fight God? Why did I resist the Lord? That's what meekness is. It's not to resist. It means to, it's submissiveness. It's exactly what biblical meekness is. It's to submit yourself to God. And don't resist him when he's working in your life. Just let him go ahead and work. Just let that have its development in your life. It'll go against your will, but he'll replace it with something so much better. And it'll save you from so much heartache. Because when you fight to get your will, God will yield. He'll just say, all right, I'm not going to make you do it. Sometimes God, this is one thing about God, and I got to get out of here. But one thing about God is, sometimes God will, he'll force his will on you. He's got that right. He bought and paid for you with the price. He gave his only begotten son to save you. And when you said, I will, Lord, I'll serve you and make me your Lord, you gave him the right to chastise you and even to force you. But he won't continue to force you. He won't force you to be saved. But sometimes God will put you, he'll back you up in a corner and you ain't got nowhere to go. You just have to take whatever he's going to dish out. And he'll make you do certain things. But he won't do that forever. He's done that to me a few times. I didn't have no other route. God forced some things on me. But when he got done, I was glad he did it. I thought, my Lord. Yeah, I could tell you, I could give you my testimony a little bit and help you to see God is, he forced some things on me. But I told him several times I wanted him, his will, not mine. Except when he started taking mine away, that's when I said, wait a minute. He said, no, I'm going through with this. You made me a promise, and I made you one. You need this. But if you just keep resisting him, you know, eventually God will back away from you and say, I'm not going to just force you to serve me forever. Or, you know, maybe once or twice I'll make some adjustments in your life to keep you from making a fool out of yourself. You know, sometimes you'll want to do your own will, and it'll be foolish. God will prevent you from it. You'll be glad later. Well, this is a grown-up message. But we need it. I need it. I have to remind myself of these things from time to time. I want to be just. Yes, I want to live just. I want to come up in the resurrection of the just. I'm just like you are, Sister Crow. I'm striving for perfection. I want to make it. If I'm not striving for it now, then I'm afraid I never would strive for it. I see it. I see the benefit of it. I see it's necessary. I see I got to have it. So I'm working for it. I'm not putting it off. I know I got to do everything that he's gave me to do now if I'm going to. And when he gives me something else to do, I got to get busy on that. As long as we do that, the rest is up to him. He can't ask no more out of you than that. I'm doing all I can do, Lord. I heard a preacher one time said, he said, well, that man said he was doing all he could do, so he must be perfect. He must have made it. No, I'm doing all I can do, and I'm not perfect yet. But I will tell you this. When I say I'm doing all I can do, I almost flinch a little bit because I feel like I could do just a little bit more. I could put forth a little more effort. I can't say, I couldn't do not one thing more. Well, but I think God knows if we're actually living according to what he's gave us. You know, and we're, you know, because I'll be honest with you, there's some times when I don't know what God wants. I'm just traveling, Brother Daniels, on a caution light. I'm just moving forward on caution. I'm looking to see if it's going to turn red. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God, all you overcomers. That's another good word, overcoming. You might not be a perfect overcomer, but if you're just, you're an overcomer. Let's stand and give him a praise. Hallelujah. I'll pay you back a few minutes in some service someday, maybe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness to us, your grace and your mercy, oh God. Lord, for your word, all that you've gave us, God, we cherish it, we love it, we're thankful for it tonight. Hallelujah. God, go with your people. Bless them. Help them with their needs, Lord, we pray. Oh, Lamb of God, we love you, Lord. We're thankful, oh, God, for the place you have us in, where you brought us to. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen, hallelujah. Shake hands, be friendly.